For one, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here to open up your word. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us now. Lord, to glean some things from this that we can apply to our lives. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you some background on this book of Genesis. And then we're going to kind of get into the message. And I got something I want to show you. But first of all, this book of Genesis, as we begin to open it up, we understand that the book of Genesis is not just the first book in the canon of Scripture. It is the first book written of Moses. Moses, the prophet of Israel, the one who led Israel out of Egypt. And this book was written at some point while Egypt was during that Exodus time that they spent in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan, specifically around Mount Sinai, when God was speaking to Moses and giving him the law. I think we are mistaken many times when we in our belief that the only thing that happened on Mount Sinai was God gave Moses 10 commandments. But in reality, Moses spent much time with God in that mountain. So much time, in fact, that he stayed up there so long with God that the people began to turn their backs on him and give up on him. And their belief was, he's gone, he's never coming back. And in that time, God gave him not only the Ten Commandments and that law that we find in the book of Exodus, but God gave him these books for the people. And this is what is known in the Jewish culture as the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch. It bears many names, the five books of Moses. And this is the first one, but understand, this is not necessarily the first book of Scripture that was ever written down. Matter of fact, I believe, historically speaking, that more than likely, the book of Job was probably the first book that was written down or canonized into a written form. Many of the other books that are written down in your Bible were probably passed on verbally at some point before they were written into paper. And there's different things like that. But understand that these books that have been compiled into the canon of Scripture have been so because the church has agreed and in their belief that these are books that God intended to be given as His Word. God inspired. We talked about that before. We believe in something called verbal plenary inspiration. That means that God spoke the words to man, and man spoke the words out of his mouth, mostly to a scribe or a writer or somebody to copy these down and memorialize them in the form of a written word. But this book of Genesis is very interesting because this book was not initially named the book of Genesis. If you were alive in 500-600 B.C. or even before that or even some after that, you would have not called this the book of Genesis. Matter of fact, the word Genesis is not even in the Hebrew language in which this book was written. This book was simply put the first book of Moses or the first book of the law, the first book of the Torah. This was the even called in some cultural instances the book of the beginnings. And that word Genesis is actually a math word. Genesis is not really a Bible word. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I haven't looked this up, but I would take a stab at saying that I don't think you'll find the word Genesis in your Bible anywhere. I don't think I've ever come across that word. But that word Genesis is a word that is derived from mathematics. And the word Genesis, literally defined, means the place of the formation of a line, a plane, or solid by the motion or flux of a point or a line or surface. Basically, simply put, the word Genesis means the place where something starts. The place where a line starts to be drawn on a piece of paper, there is nothing before that place of beginning, that Genesis point. It's when nothing becomes something. This book of Genesis is more than just the beginning. It's the formation of the fact that there was a beginning at all. This, I believe this word Genesis is an apt name for this book, because this book tells us of the beginnings of what is, what we know as life. Look in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created. This is the moment of Genesis. This is the moment where God, in the span of eternity, decided there is going to be a starting point of something called time. And let me say this about that. If there is a starting point, that implies that there must also be an ending point. You understand that time can be calculated because it is a finite substance. That is to say, it has begun, so therefore it must end. You ever heard the saying, all good things come to an end? Right. I would counter that by saying, all things come to an end, period. Right. There is nothing that begins that does not eventually end. And this thing that we live in called time is just like all those other things. Somewhere in the span of eternity, God decided this right here, this is going to be the beginning. And can I tell you, when He did that, He also decided this right here, this is going to be the ending. My Bible says that the Father knows exactly what the day and time is. He's the only one that knows, but He does know. And this Genesis, this moment of beginning, think about it like this. God was not bound by time like we are. And eternity is not a time, but it is an existence. It is an infinite state of being. But somewhere in that, God divided that eternity into something we call time. And this is how it started in verse 1. In the beginning. This is the beginning of the line, the plane of all existence. This moment, I think we tend to skip over this moment and make it a small thing because we've heard this verse so many times. But don't miss this. This moment is where an eternal God, an infinite God, living in an infinite reality, living in a zone that was not bound by time, decided this is where we're going to start. And everything that you and I know to exist as people outside of our faith in God is started right here. And over the course of the next 7-day period, everything that is currently in existence was developed. Did you know that since this moment, the earth that we live in has not gotten any heavier or any lighter? If it had, we would no longer be in a proper rotation around the sun. If the earth became more dense over time, then we would get out of our orbit. If it became less dense over time, it would speed up and have the same result. But the reality is, the same stuff that was here when God rested on the seventh day in Genesis chapter 1 is the same stuff that's here now. Now, some of it may have been changed in different forms. For example, if you boil a pot of water and let it boil long enough, all that water is going to become vapor. But do you understand that that vapor does not disappear, but it is bound into the atmosphere, where at some point it returns to a liquid state and falls from the sky? It's happening right now. When you die and we put your body in a hole in the ground, did you understand that that does not disappear? That's not gone. That does not that matter or mass does not go extinct. It becomes a part of something else. And God designed this to begin at this moment. Let me say some things about this.
First of all, I want you to see this. This is some things about the character of God that I want you to understand. Nothing started until God said it was time for it to start. Don't get it in your mind that you have the power to decide when and where God is going to do what He does. He's in control. I like the way Paul said it in Colossians chapter 1, by Him all things consist. The consistency of existence is based on Him. It started when God said it started. And let me go ahead and say this. Our modern society, with all of our so-called knowledge, has decided that we can pin down some things that God must have not told us about. And we've decided that that starting point was 150 billion, jillion years ago. And can I tell y'all something? There ain't no... get mad at me, pack your stuff up, whatever you want to do. There ain't never been no such thing as billions and billions and billions of years. There ain't never going to be billions and billions of years. Do you understand what I don't care what National Geographic said about a dinosaur and all that. I believe in dinosaurs because my Bible tells me about them. But they won't around here 150 billion years ago. They won't nothing there. There's no such thing. Now, we can argue some points about the time of creation and how old the earth is. I happen to believe that the earth is somewhere between 5 and 10,000 years old. You say, that's a big stretch. That's because I don't know that much. I ain't dumb enough to think I'm smart enough to have pinpointed exactly when it happened. But here's what I know. I know how many generations it's been since Adam. Yep. Since Adam and Eve started having children. I know how many generations it's been since Noah, because I got a Bible that recorded all of that. Now, what I'm saying is, God's the one that decided when it started. Not the scientists, not Bill Nye, the science guy, and the Discovery Channel, and all that junk. And they don't decide. God decided. And by the way, I'll repeat this sentiment. If God decided when it begun, He's going to decide when it ends. I get frustrated when people say, well, you know, this and that's happening, so maybe we're getting close to Jesus coming back. Let me go ahead and tell you something. When Jesus gets ready to rapture the church, He's not going to ask nobody's permission whether or not it's okay, whether or not everything's happened yet so He can do that. Yeah, we act like God's bound up by something that we believe in. Listen, the only thing that binds God is His Word. He created the beginning. He created the universe. Look at what He said. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Here's what's so amazing about the Word of God. The Word of God has, God has a way of putting everything that needs to be in there, in there. Now, I would have tried to describe the universe and the galaxies and all the stars and all the planets and the black holes and the atmospheres and the stars and the suns and the moons and all the rings and all of that stuff. I'd have took more pages than is in that Bible to try to even begin to describe all that. Here's what God said. He called it the heaven and the earth. Two things. The earth and everything else. What about that? Can I say it like this? It ain't no big deal to Him. Do you understand that it wasn't hard for God to do this? There ain't nowhere in here where it says God broke a sweat. He toiled and worked himself and slammed to death. He was tired and had to stop and take a lunch break. There ain't nothing. Matter of fact, the only time he rested was for the purpose of showing us what it looked like to rest after a week of work. God didn't need no rest. He didn't rest because He was tired. He didn't make a big deal of the heaven and the earth and everything that is created now. The Bible says God created it just like that in the beginning. You say, how did He do it, preacher? I don't know, but in my mind I said something like this. God sitting there on His throne of creation, and He said, there's the heaven and there's the earth. Well, that wasn't hard. Let's make some other stuff. Are you listening to me? He put it all in place like it was nothing. Don't miss this. Don't miss how God minimized what seems so unfathomable to us. The Bible tells us that His thoughts are above our thoughts. And His ways higher than our ways. He's not just smarter than us. He's not like us. He doesn't think like we think. He's not bound like we're bound. He's not hindered like we're hindered. To Him, this was a small thing. He hadn't even begun the first day yet. This was the precursor. What we're looking at tonight is the precursor to the beginning of the days of creation. The first day doesn't happen until He creates the lights and turns them off and back on again. Right here, the Bible says, heaven, and I can't get over that. Man, that struck me when I saw that. You sit outside tonight, lay on your back if we had a clear sky, and look at all them stars and all them planets and all them things, man, and it'll make you feel small. It'll make you feel insignificant. And the vastness of the great, that man, we've got multi-trillion dollar investments in telescopes that just all day and night for years and decades are looking here and looking there and taking pictures here, and they call themselves discovering new things in the universe. Every day, stuff we didn't know was there is there, and they're finding, and people have literally invested their lives and lived and died trying to figure out how big a planet was here or a star was there, and all of that, God summed it up in one word: the heaven. Yeah. Wasn't no big deal. Not to Him.
This thing was not gradually brought into existence. It was not multiplied from a single unit. I wrote this down in my notes because this is what I thought about when I was studying this. You ever got into a project? Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
We got cabinets sitting in my floor right now in my living room because they gave us the wrong part. And we got to figure out how to fix it. And may end up having to run back to the store. Here's what I thought about. God done all of this. He never did have to run back to the store to get no extra parts. I mean, He didn't have to break out the instruction manual. He didn't need a different kind of screwdriver. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He's not like us. He doesn't create like we create. He did this without any kind of fallbacks or stoppings. He knew He had everything that He needed from the start. And He knew exactly what He was doing. If I don't do anything else for you tonight, I want to try to put in some perspective how overwhelming our God is. Before He ever decided where the beginning was, He was already equipped with everything it was going to take to get the job done. And if that's so, don't you think He's equipped with whatever it takes to get the job done in your life? He created the beginning. He created the universe. I'm almost done. I'm moving fast. I want you to see this. He created order. This is amazing. Notice what the Bible says about the earth in verse number 2. Now the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is amazing right here. At first glance, at first inception of creation, the earth, what we now know as home, was in chaos. Think about this. God had not yet put light on this thing. It was dark. I ain't talking about dark like it's dark out there. I'm talking about dark without light. Devoid of anything visible. Not only that, but it was without form. It didn't even have a real shape. It wasn't suitable to be called, as Isaiah called it, the circle of the earth. Not only that, but you study this thing out, and in just a little while, He's going to divide the waters from the waters and create a firmament, which we call the atmosphere,
to where the ocean waters are going to be in the ocean and the other waters are going to be in the atmosphere and the space in between is going to be inhabitable. But right now, it wasn't. You said, what did that look like, preacher? I don't have no idea. I've been thinking about that all day. But I know we couldn't have lived in it. I know it wasn't suitable for life. It was chaotic. It was a mess. Why do you think God did that? Do you think God did that because He needed to? Or do you think God did that to prove a point to us? Let's think about this.
How did God deal with this situation? Now, these words are very interesting. Without form and void. Now, I'm gonna mess this up, and this is why I don't try to speak Hebrew. But these words,
I believe that our Bible is the best reference for our Bible.
That's right.
I don't believe a Greek lexicon is the best reference. I believe your Bible is the best reference. These are the words. Tohu, T-O-H-U,
and bohu, B-O-H-U. Without form and void. Now, if you go to Isaiah 34, you don't have to turn there right now. But in Isaiah 34 and verse 11,
here's those same words are translated. Listen to this.
In the book of Isaiah, those same words are translated in the same language to this. Confusion and emptiness. Whew.
He created this thing, and here it sat, this amazing creation. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Young people, are y'all listening to me? God's crown jewel at the moment of His creation. And it was in a state of confusion and emptiness. Can I tell you something, church? We're past the first day. And you and I are the crown jewel of God's creation. But have you ever looked around and realized that you have found yourself in this state of confusion and emptiness, without form and void, descended into chaos? Nothing ain't like it's supposed to be. Nothing ain't making sense to you. Things ain't lined up right. It seems like this thing is just in a total mess and disarray and cannot be fixed. If you'd have seen the earth in this moment when it was without form and void, it would seem irredeemable. It would seem like there was nothing that could be done to make it right. Are y'all listening to me? I'm fixing to be done now. God said that the earth was in a state of confusion and emptiness, formlessness, and void of any existence. And look what your Bible says. Yeah, I'm fixing to shout right here. Look what your Bible says in verse number 2. The Bible says, and God, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? Your life may be without form and void. You may feel confused and empty. But when God moves in, He'll make the chaos into order. He'll put things right. He'll set it on the right path. When the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, everything began to fall into place exactly like it was supposed to be. Y'all ain't helping me preach this, but it's good to me because sometimes I wake up and I look at my life and it feels like chaos and disarray and disorder, and I can't figure out what I need to do. But what I realize right here today is that all I need to do is get out of God's way, because when He moves in, He's going to make it right.
God moved in the chaos and everything came to order. By the way, you know what the first thing He did when He moved in was? Look at verse 3. He said, let there be light. And there was light. All of a sudden, help me, Lord. All of a sudden, when God got involved in this thing, you can see clearly. I hear this from Christians all the time. They've got their life in a mess, everything's in disarray, and they say something like this, preacher, I just don't see no way out of this. Can I tell you something? If you just get out of God's way and let God get involved in that thing and start doing what He's asked you to do, when He moves in into your chaos, He'll shine a light on it. He'll be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to see clearly what's really going on. Listen, this thing, begin to give me some clarity on what's really going on here. Can I tell you something? It feels like being a pastor sometimes. It's such a frustrating thing because I feel like all I want to do in this world every day when I wake up in the morning is help you people. That's what I exist to. I want to do right by you. But sometimes it feels like everything's in chaos and nothing ain't coming together like it's supposed to. And I'll be honest with you, right here lately it feels like where's so-and-so and where's this family and where's that family? And how come? I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to preach your word, but I'm getting discouraged because I feel like things ain't going like I thought they were going to go. But what I figured out from this is it's time for us to get out of the way and just let God do what He does. I'm fixing to quit trying to come up with sermons and start just preaching the word because I'm ready to see God move. Because when He moves in, it might not be what five of y'all left, but it'll be exactly the way God wants it to be. It might not be enough money to pay the rent, but we'll meet out in the field and do it the way God wants it done. And it'll be decent and in order because God designed it. We can't run this thing, folks. We can't fix these problems that we've got in our lives. We got to quit trying to drive all the time and understand that God knows how to separate the waters from the waters and put the things that hurt us in one place and the things that help us in one place and give us access. Think about this right here. The earth is like something like 70% water, but a very high percentage of that water is undrinkable. It's salinated. It's got salt in it. If you go to the ocean and put a glass in it, you can't drink that water to kill you. But think about this right here. God went over by your house somewhere and He said, "I'm going to put a little creek right here. And that's going to give enough water to make sure that they got what they need to survive." Are y'all listening to me? God designed a system wherewith we could go forward because God knows what He's doing. Amen. He turns the chaos into order. I tell you this, church, a moving of God will always straighten things out. We don't need to listen. We don't need another program. We don't need another seminar. We don't need some kind of lesson to help us figure it out. I tell you what we need to do. We need to let God be God and get out of His way. I quit trying to override Him on everything and just let God run our lives. And I tell you what He'll do. He'll straighten some things out for you. He'll make some things clear for you. He'll make some things work for you. He'll put the right stuff in the right place at the right time. And listen, just as soon as you get over the fact that God knows better than you do what you need, and God knows better than you do what's right for you, you'll figure out that God's put exactly what you need and exactly the place you need it at exactly the time you need it. I think about this. I'm trying to quit, but God's just on me right here. I think about this right here. I think about that little widow woman. Elijah comes into town and here she is. She's done baked the last meal that she's ever going to have. She's done took the last little bit of what she's got and she's done baked some cakes for her and her son. And she said, I'm going to bake these cakes with these two little sticks and we're going to eat them and die. There ain't nothing left to do. And the man of God said this. He said, "Before you do that, fix me one." Because God said, that's what you need to do.
That's right.
And I tell you what, here's what's amazing about that. God had done told her that what was coming.
Yep.
She couldn't put it all off on Elijah. If you come to me and I got my last dollar and you tell me God told you that I need to give it to you, you probably ain't getting it. You hear me? That ain't how it went down. The widow woman knew exactly what was up. God had done told her He's coming. And when He comes, you're going to do what He tells you to do. And she followed that command. And listen, when she reached that scoop in the bottom of that meal barrel, hey, it come out full. And when she reached it in the next time, it come out full. And when she turned that cruise of oil over on the side, the oil just kept coming and coming and coming. You said, "Preacher, what happened right there?" God took the disorderly and the dysfunctional and the messed up, and He made it. He made it in order, and He made it right the way that He wanted it to be. Amen. I tell you what somebody needs to do tonight. Somebody needs to just... You know what I find interesting about this creation right here? I'm quitting. But you know what I find really interesting about this? He did all this. This to me is the
biggest part of creation. After this, he creates the flowers and the trees and the birds and the bees and all that mess. Right? But let's be real here. If this ain't hard for God, that really ain't hard for God.
That's right.
All right. This is the big push in getting this thing started. You know what I find interesting? There ain't no people involved. God didn't create the people until he got this thing straight. You say, why do you reckon that is? Because they'd have screwed it up just as short as I'm standing here. They'd have ruined it. Matter of fact, they did ruin it. When they finally did come around, they found a way to mess it up. One thing, Mary Lou, one thing they had to do, and they couldn't do that. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to just get out of the way. You ought to just get somewhere in your prayer place. Get out of the way. Let your pride go. Quit worrying about what sign your name's going to be on. Are y'all listening to me? Quit worrying about who's going to think you're cool, who's going to think you're wealthy, and who's going to think you got something, and who's going to think you are something. Are you listening to the church?
Amen.
Quit worrying about your reputation and how many friends you got and all this jazz. Hey, listen to me. Get out of the way and let God fix it like he wants to fix it.
Amen.
Let God put it like he wants to put it. And I tell you what, here's what's amazing. I'm done. Honey, come to the piano. Here's what's amazing. I don't know if this thing happened 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. Really, the biggest gap in creation that I don't know that I really understand is how long Adam and Eve spent in the garden. But I've heard a lot of people say, well, they might have been in the garden for a million years. I don't believe Adam and Eve went a million years without sin.
Right.
How long do you think it took them, the devil, to figure out how to get them to eat that fruit? I bet it happened real quick. I said that to say this. I don't know how long ago it was, but I'm looking around, and despite what the liberal politicians are telling us was going to happen if we kept burning fossil fuel and all that, I'm looking around, and this thing's still here. I'm still breathing the same air. We're still making it. The earth's still in the right spot. We're still in our orbit. We're still spinning. I think God knows how to get it done. I think God can design some things in your life that have some longevity. I think God can create something that will last longer than your wills and your moves. Why don't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.